Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 this morning. John chapter 5. We'll begin reading with verse 1. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, this is your word, and we are your people. And God, we have come into this place this morning, Lord, to give you honor, to give you glory, to give you praise, to ask you to meet our needs, and to look forward to your healing touch. But Lord, we've also come here to hear from you. So, Lord, we pray that you would open our ears that we might hear you. Open our hearts that we might receive what your Spirit is speaking to the church. Lord, open our minds that, God, our very thought process will be changed. And as a result, we will be transformed. God, have your way. Speak to us this morning. And, Lord, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise because we know that this word will not return to you void. It will accomplish what you set it forth to do. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we pray. And everyone said amen,
amen.
And amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to talk to you on a simple subject. Don't miss the Master. Don't miss the Master. In this passage of Scripture that we've read here this morning, you had an individual who had been in a really bad situation for a very long time, and he was so consumed with what he was looking for that he didn't realize that what he really needed was right there beside him. Don't miss the Master. One of my favorite Bible stories, and I know it's not only one of my favorite, but I know there are others that really love it as well, is the story of Peter and the disciples when they're in the boat and the Lord sends them toward the other side and they get out, they begin straining at the oars, and yet the Lord always has his eye on them. And then he comes walking on the water, and Scripture tells us that he would have passed them by. And they looked at him and thought he was a spirit. They looked at him and thought he was a ghost. And they cried out, and in their fear, it brought the Lord to a stopping point. And he said, "Don't be afraid, it is I." And of course, when that happened, then Peter said, "Lord, if it really is you, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter gets out, walks on the water, he gets his eyes off of Jesus and begins to sink. And immediately he cries out once again, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reaches out and takes him by the hand and pulls him up. And then I believe that they walked back to the boat together. I don't think Jesus threw him over his shoulder and then carried him. I think that they walked hand in hand together on the waves back to the boat. But one of the things in that story that always jumps out at me is how that so many times we can get caught up in the busyness and caught up in everything that's going on and completely miss the fact that Jesus is about to pass us by. Jesus had spoken to the city of Jerusalem and had told them that, you know, if they would have just recognized the day of his appearing, things would have been different. He said he had wanted to gather them like a hen would gather the chicks under its wings, but they missed the day of his appearing. They did not recognize him when he was there. And I think that in our lives, if we're not careful, we may miss the day of his appearing, the day of his visitation. I think that in the midst of our problems and our circumstances and in our busy lifestyles and in even our traditions and routines, that if we're not careful, we may miss the Master. And in the passage of Scripture that we read here this morning, this man was at a pool. He was at Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy or house of the flowing waters, whichever way you want to look at it. The image is that grace flows like a river. And so it's this very beautiful, very awesome thought of where the man was. He was at a pool that meant the house of the flowing grace of God. And if you want a modern day equivalent of a house of the flowing grace of God, you're in one this morning. You're in a church, a place where grace is supposed to run deep and the love of God is supposed to wash away a multitude of sins. And we're in a place where God's grace is supposed to be flowing. But look, the man was at a pool. Now, according to some records, this pool was about 45 feet long, and it had five porches, which were sunken areas into this pool, so that people could actually get down into the water without drowning, because according to one reference, at least, they claim that at one point in time, this pool was about 80 feet deep in certain points. Now, it's 45 feet long. I don't understand how it could be 85 feet deep, but that is what one of the individuals who studied it out has said. But here you do have this deep pool of water. And it was never intended to just be a pool. The name of the place was the flowing of grace. It's not supposed to just be held in and held back. It's supposed to be flowing out. Right? Now we know that in Jerusalem there's an underground river, an underground stream that comes from an artesian well, and it goes all throughout the city. And as a matter of fact, we find that it's because of this underground water supply that David was originally able to come and to take Jerusalem from the Jebusites. This is how he got into the city and how his mighty men came in and sacked it. So there's supposed to be in the city of Jerusalem, in the city of God, there's supposed to be this continual flowing of God's grace and His mercy. Can I even take it a step further and say there's supposed to be a continual flowing of the Spirit of God? And so here you have this understanding of this continual flow. Ezekiel prophesied and said that there would be water flowing out of the temple, and it would flow all the way down to the Dead Sea, and it would bring life everywhere that that river would flow. But here when Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda, it's a pool. It's a place where people gather around instead of just flowing with the river. Are you hearing me this morning? Our churches today have become pools instead of rivers. Our churches today have become places of, if you want something from God, come in here and get it, instead of letting God's glory flow out of us into a world that is dying. You know why it is that the world is in such turmoil today? Why it is that our nation is having the problems that it's having? It's not because of the liberals who have tried to take control. It's because the church came and camped out at the pool. And we stopped flowing with the grace of God to a world that needs it. Now in the midst of all this, you have a man who's been here at this pool. He's been there a very long time. He is waiting for the miracle to take place in the pool. He's waiting for God to do something the way that He's always done it before. He's waiting for this angel to come down and to trouble the waters, to stir up the waters. Literally, the word for troubling there can be causing to boil. Trying to get this water heated up and bubbling over so that people will come and will dive in to this pool of water that's supposed to be a flowing river. He's been waiting for quite some time. And while he's waiting for God to show up in the pool, he does not recognize that God has shown up right beside him. That God is standing right there in the form of Jesus Christ. He's standing right there beside him. He doesn't recognize that God is speaking to him. He's got his focus on the pool, and he's missing the fact that the God who created the water that's in the pool is standing right there at his side. He is in danger of missing the Master while he's waiting for the miracle. Now, there are a lot of churches today that are in the exact same situation. We're waiting for a miracle. Our church has been in this situation. We've been waiting for a miracle for a very long time. We've been waiting for the Lord to trouble the waters. We've been waiting for people to come from the outside in and dive into the pool where we've been. And we have it in our minds that God's going to do such a great thing within the building that people are just going to come. And I know God can do that. But I also know that's not the way that God normally works. The way that God normally works is he sends the people who have already been to the pool, he sends them out to find the lost and to bring them to the pool. Now, what I want to point out to you is in the story of this man, this paralyzed, lame man who is there by the pool, I want to point out to you some things from his story that I think are relevant to where we are, and hopefully you'll see that these are things that we want to get past. And then after that, I'm going to show you how that he came to this place where he finally received the miracle he was looking for. But the process that he had to go through to receive it was different than what he was accustomed to. So I want you to bear with me this morning, because the first thing I want to point out is that sometimes we may miss the Lord because we don't notice him because it's been so long that we've been in our situation. This man had been in his situation for 38 years, and it says when Jesus saw him, he knew he had been in that condition for a long time. Literally, the way that it would be is the Lord knew he had been at the pool for a long time. Sometimes we miss Jesus because we've been waiting so long, we don't even know how to recognize him. We've been waiting so long, we've gone through a process. 38 years is a long time of process. 38 years before, this man was able to walk. This man was able to do all the things that you would normally do. Maybe he was a child. Maybe he was a teenager. Maybe he was a young adult. We don't really know. It doesn't really tell us how old he was. Only that 38 years before, everything was normal and everything was great. But then something happened. He became lame. And when he became lame, over the next 38 years, things began to happen in his body. He began to have deterioration in his muscles because he couldn't use them. His bones began to get fixed. He probably had some bed sores because he wasn't able to move around that well. Over the course of 38 years, he was taken to the pool over and over again, waiting for a miracle to come. And in this process, his body has been deteriorating over the course of 38 years. Here he is by the pool. It's been so long that he's been in his situation, that he's been in his circumstance, that he's in danger of missing the moment when the Master comes by. Some of us, we've been in our circumstances for a very long time. Our church has been in circumstances for a very long time. We can look back, we can try and plot it all out on a graph, and we can see the ups and the downs, the dips and the peaks, and we can look at it all and we can say, how is it that we came to this place over the past 38 years, coming to a place and coming to a position where it almost seems like the miracle isn't going to happen? And yet there were people praying over those 38 years and saying, God, bring a revival. God, fill this church There have been dreams released. There have been visions. There have been prophecies spoken over this church of what God wants to do. But because it's been so long, if we don't recognize the moment that the Master is here, we may miss the Master. I want to show you the second thing. One of the reasons he almost missed him. Sometimes we don't notice him. We don't notice Jesus because he isn't moving like we expected. This man has been there at the pool for quite a while. He's come to the house of the flowing grace, and he's been there at the pool for some time. He's been coming here for years, waiting for God to show up, and what he expects is somehow there's going to be a boiling in the water. Some bubbles are going to come up. Maybe he'll actually see a physical, visible angel coming down and touching the water. We don't know. Some people say that every time that there would be a bubble to come up from the bottom of this pool, that everybody would just dive in. We don't know. But what he expected was, it's going to happen in such and such a way, and I'm going to go down into the water lame, and I'm going to come out of the water walking. That was what he expected. That was what he was looking for. That's what he was anticipating. So when Jesus shows up and says, what is it that you want? What is it that you really are needing? He says, well, I want to be whole, but I can't, because somebody always beats me into the pool. I don't have anybody to help me. The only way I can receive my healing is to get into the water. When I lived in North Carolina, I was amazed by all of the people that I would come in contact with that would need healing. And I'd say, can I pray for you? And they'd say, sure, but I'm not really expecting God to do anything. I'd say, what do you mean you're not expecting God to do anything? They'd say, because I'm going to be healed, but the way I'm going to be healed is when Benny Hinn comes to Raleigh, I'm going to go to Raleigh and Benny Hinn's going to breathe on me and I'm going to be healed. That was their expectation. That was how that they figured out that God was moving. Now, God moved that way. God did different things for different people in that same format. But you know, sometimes we miss God because of the way we expect He's going to come. You know, we expect that God's going to come in with an evangelist coming. He's going to preach this powerful, anointed revival, and we're all going to get saved. There was a joke there, nobody caught it. We're all going to get saved. We're all going to be refilled with the Spirit. And then as a result, we're going to go out and people are just going to come running to us to get Jesus from us. That's kind of the expectation that we have in a lot of churches today. In other churches, we have this expectation that because we get the worship just like we want it, and because we get the preaching just like we want it, and because we get all the bells and whistles that you can have in church, that as a result of having all these things, people are just going to flock to you. And they're going to come. And that's the way that we are starting to expect it. Then there's the church growth movement that says, if you follow this plan and you do these things, then God's going to bless your church and your church is going to grow. Again, it's an expectation. God can use all those ways. God has used all those ways. God is using all those ways. But that's not necessarily the way that He wants to show up. And so sometimes our expectations get us to a point where we miss God. I can imagine Elijah out there at Mount Horeb, and he's desperately needing to hear the voice of God. And God whispers to him and says, why are you here? He says, I'm the only one that's left. Everybody else is dead and gone. Now they seek to destroy me. I'm better off dead, is really what he's trying to get across. And God says, go stand out there outside the cave. And he goes and he stands outside the cave. And God, it says, God sent the earthquake, the wind, the fire. God sent all three of those things, it says, but yet it says that God was not in a single one of them. He could have expected God to show up in the earthquake. He could have expected God to show up in the wind. He could have expected God to show up in the fire. He shows up in all those ways in other passages of Scripture. Amen? And then he turns around and all of a sudden he hears the still small voice of God and he covers his face. He'd already heard the voice before, but he didn't recognize it. that that was the way God was wanting to move. And so when he hears the voice this next time, the still small voice, God says the same thing to him that he had already said, but this time he responds differently because he recognizes that the Lord is there. Sometimes our expectations can get in the way, and if we're not careful, our expectations will cause us to miss the Master. Look at the next thing here. Sometimes we don't notice Jesus because he isn't doing it like he used to. Behold, I do a new thing, says the Lord. Oh, I know there's nothing new under the sun, but you know what? The one who created the sun specializes in doing things that are new for you and me. You know what? Just because he moved one way at one time doesn't mean that's the same way he's going to move. Case in point, Steve Board, the evangelist that has ministered several times in this church. He'll be coming back next year. His busy schedule keeps him booked constantly. He'll be here next year. Sometimes he goes into churches, and one of the things that he does is he fills up the baptistry. And over the course of his revival, he just feels led to start baptizing people. And people come, and some people feel like they just need to be rebaptized, and he'll rebaptize them. Others come, they're being baptized for the first time, and he baptizes them. And the Holy Spirit broke out in one of those churches in a powerful way through the baptistry. Well, he came here. The first time that he came here, I went and got the baptistry already. Why? Because that's the way God did it before through Steve Board. I'm expecting that's the way he'll do it again. Here we have the expectation. Here we have this aspect of God doesn't move always in the same way that he did it before. As a matter of fact, if God only moved in the same way that he did it before, then we all need to move to Jerusalem and go into an upper room and spend 10 days without leaving the room together and wait for the Lord to show up. He doesn't always do it the same way that he did it before. And sometimes we miss it because the new way that God is moving might be something we don't like. It might be something that is different for us. You see, we've allowed for the worldly culture to invade us in the wrong way. We've allowed the worldly culture that told us that certain things were wrong. We've stood up for that and made it a part of the church instead of standing up for what the Lord wants to do to invade the worldly culture. The culture of the church, now we have rules and regulations in many churches that are not in the Bible. We've become modern day Pharisees. And we want to uphold these rules and regulations that didn't come from the Bible, but they came from an old mindset that was in a particular culture that was forced upon churches everywhere that those people went. And so when we see God beginning to do things in a new way, when we see the youth beginning to come and minister, and them beginning to flow in the giftings that God has given them, and we look at it and we say, I don't like it that way. You know what? When Jesus saw the children singing his praises and worshiping him and glorifying him upon his triumphal entry, he's getting ready to go to the temple and cleanse the temple. He's on his way there. And the children are crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're just glorifying him and giving him praise. And the priests come and say, you got to stop that. And what did Jesus say? He said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will immediately cry out. So in other words, you either allow God to do the new thing the way he intends to do it, or he'll find another way to do it without you. God's doing a new thing. And it may not be the same way that he did it before. But as long as it's God, as long as we're not preaching and teaching heresy, as long as we're not telling you it's all right to sin, hello? If I'm getting you closer to Jesus than you were before you got here, if we're coming before the throne of God and praising and worshiping him, it doesn't matter about the new way. As long as it's God, let him do it. Get out of the way and let God have his way. It was funny yesterday. Amanda gave me a DVD to watch, which I haven't had a chance to watch yet. But the speaker that is on this DVD. I've watched him before, and he's phenomenal. I love listening to him. It's incredible. He says a lot about love, and the Holy Spirit manifests on him in a powerful way, and there are miracles that take place everywhere this guy goes. And he's just loving people. He's just trying to show people Jesus. That's all that he tries to do. But the first time I saw him, he had dreadlocks. This white guy with dreadlocks and a goatee, wearing a surfer shirt and white pants. Nobody wears white pants. And I looked at him and I saw him, and he got up and he starts speaking and he starts preaching and he starts teaching. Amanda told it to me this way. She said, "Pastor, I like to put it on and close my eyes and just listen." What are you trying to say, Brother Darrell? What I'm trying to say is this. If we're not careful, the way that we have seen God move before, because it feeds into our expectation, it will cause us to miss what the Master is about to do. Let me go on to the next one. Sometimes we don't recognize Him, we don't notice Him, because we're too busy blaming someone else. Listen to what the lame man said. He said to Jesus, he said, "I can't get into the water in time. I can't get my healing because I don't have anybody to let me down there, to put me down there, to help me into the water and to help me back out." He said, "I can't get the miracle because somebody else won't help me. I can't get what I need for God because somebody's not doing it the way that I think it needs to be done." Are you with me? Out of all the different ones that we've looked at, you know, the other two, expectation and God's not doing it the same way that He used to do, those things, those are human nature, you know, to deal with those things. Even you've been so long in your predicament that it, sometimes you miss the moment with God. You know, that's understandable. We have those things happen. But when it comes to a point where we start blaming other people, it's all someone else's fault. All the guy ever had to do was tell Jesus what he wanted to begin with and not blame anyone, and the Lord was already ready to do it. He blames somebody else. It's someone else's fault. Man, you have been at the pool of the flowing grace all these years, and you've not flowed with the grace. You've been sitting here camping out, waiting for something to happen, and it's all somebody else's fault. It's all someone else's fault. It's that preacher from way back then. It's this preacher now. It's someone else's fault. It's the music. It's the lack of the music. It's the kids. It's the lack of the kids. Hello? It's always someone else's fault. And if we take the time to recognize who's standing beside us, who's talking to us, then all we have to do is let Him speak, and the problem will be solved. And if we're not careful, blaming someone else is going to cause us to miss the Master. And if you miss the Master, you'll miss the miracle. Now let me show you how things progressed and changed. First of all, the man had to hear what Jesus said. It said Jesus said to him. He had to listen to what the Lord had to say. Second of all, he had to rise up. Now, he's been lame. He's been in this situation for a long time. For him to rise up is for him to say, "I no longer have this problem," even though he knows he still has it. "Rise up," Jesus said. He says to him, "Rise up." Next, he says, "You got to take dominion." Take dominion? He didn't say that. Here's what he said. He said, "Rise up, take up your bed." That bed is what they carried him on. That bed is what he was always on. That was like his wheelchair of the day. That was his cane. That was his crutch. And the Lord said, take dominion. I want you to take up that which has held on to you for so long. I want you to take dominion over. Notice I'm not using the word control. Dominion and control are two separate things. Taking dominion means that somebody has given you authority over that situation. Taking control means you take the authority over that situation. Dominion and control are two different things. We live in a day and an age that wants to tell us to take control of our problems and to take control of our circumstances and our situations. But God is saying, let me have the situation. You take dominion. Let me give you the authority over your circumstance and your situation. That's good preaching, Brother Darrell. Why, thank you. I'm glad you noticed. So listen, he had to hear what the Lord said, right? He had to rise up, even though his legs were feeble and weak, even though the muscle would have completely deteriorated over the past 38 years. He had to rise up, and then after rising up, he had to take dominion. He had to take that which had taken hold of him. He had to pick it up. Rise up, take up your bed, and then Jesus said, walk it out. Walk it out. Walk it out. You see, he could have struggled to try and push himself up. Maybe he could have even gotten to his knees and picked up that bedding that he would have been carried on, that which he needed to take dominion over. He could have held on to that, and then the Lord could have said, now walk. And he could have said, no. But he heard him. He rose up, he took dominion, and then he had to walk it out. Now here's the thing, there at the pool where everybody had gathered together with their expectations of what God would do based upon what God had already done, and out of everybody at the pool, how many people does it tell us in John chapter 5 received their healing? Just the one. Once he got past all of the problems and listened to what Jesus had to say and followed through with what Jesus said to do, he got up, he took dominion, and he walked out of the house of the flowing grace. And everybody there was looking and saying, wait a second, the bubbles didn't come up in the water. I didn't see you out there doing the backstroke. I don't know what's going on with you. How can you be walking? I just listened to what the Lord had to say, and I did it. I'm walking it out. And as he takes every step, those joints in his feet and in his legs begin to pop into place, and the muscle begins to ignite. It's like the Incredible Hulk's legs. All of a sudden, muscle comes out of nowhere, and he's walking it out. And he's carrying that which used to carry him. And he's walking it out. And he's trusting God for everything now. And he no longer has to come and camp out at the house of the flowing grace. Now he can go and live out the flowing of grace. Because he got past the problems and recognized the Master. So this morning, wherever you are in your Christian walk, I know where I am. And I will be completely and totally honest. Is that all right? Yesterday, I had such a meltdown. I did not want to preach this message this morning, because I was struggling yesterday to recognize that Jesus was right there beside me. It's a little bit easier to recognize that he's beside me today because I felt his presence ever since we came into the service. But you know what? Tomorrow, I may have to face some of those same issues and some of those same problems that have kept me bound up and tied down. But the question is, am I just going to camp out at the pool and say, God, you can only do it the way that I think you should? Or am I going to recognize the Master and do whatever it takes to walk into my miracle? Wherever you are this morning, I want to encourage you to walk into your miracle. Don't let anything hold you back. It's no one's fault. Where you are actually where you are for such a time as this, so that God can show you how great He is in the midst of your desperation. This entire nation needs to get this. Our entire country needs to understand That if we keep on trying to make excuses of why it is that it's not happening and therefore we miss the master, then you know what? We're not going to see the miracle take place in our nation. But if we can get people, it was only one there in the house of the flowing grace. If we can get people in each of these churches, even just one, to begin to recognize that Jesus is there, listen to what it is that he has to say, and rise up, take dominion, and walk it out, then it will turn the tide in this country. Until then, the pool is still here, and we're still waiting. And Jesus is right there saying, just listen to me and I'll bring you through. Will you stand this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel led to just kind of close this out a little bit differently this morning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lead in a prayer because, as I said, I'm here. I'm at this place. This is where I am. So I'm going to lead in a prayer. And if you would like to repeat this prayer with me, if you identify with this message this morning and you want to repeat this prayer with me, then I encourage you to do that. And then I want us to just take a moment right where we are and just on our own, just to begin to love on the Lord and just to begin to pray and to ask the Lord to help us to recognize Him where He is today. So if you'd like to repeat after me, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I come before You. I lay down my expectations. I even look back at all that You've done, and I bring it back to You, and I lay it at Your feet. I'm not going to blame anyone else. I come to You, and I know I've been in this position for a very long time, but I acknowledge that You are here. Help me to hear You. Help me to do exactly what You say. I want to walk it out for Your glory and for Your honor. Forgive me, Lord, for those times that I've missed the Master. And from this day forward, let me walk with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just as You will, just begin to pray. Hallelujah, Lord. God, I thank You that, Father, You have miracles in store. That, Lord, You know exactly where we are. We've never escaped Your attention. God, You know what we're going through. You know what we're facing. And, Lord, You are more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And so, Lord, we just want to continue to grow closer to You, nearer to You, that we can hear Your voice, so we can do what You would ask us to do, so we can be who You've always intended for us to be. Help us to lay aside those things. And, Lord, it may be an everyday thing, even as the Apostle Paul, Lord, had to crucify his flesh daily, and even as he had to come to a point where all these kind of things that we talked about, he said he had to consider them all rubbish and leave them behind so he could press on toward the mark. God, in Jesus' name, help us to let go of all of our expectations in order that You may give us fresh and new expectations. Because, Lord, if You're going to call us to walk it out, then that means You're going to bring a healing to our legs. That means You're going to bring a healing to our body. Lord, You're going to bring a healing to this church. Father, it doesn't matter what's gone on over the past 38 years. All that matters is that You are here now. And Lord, if we will recognize You and do what You say and walk with You, then You will perform the miraculous in a brand new way. So God, we come before You. And Lord, we dedicate all that we are to You. Father, once again, I give You this pool, this Bethesda here, God. This which is intended to be a house of the flowing river of Your grace. God, I bring You this house. I bring You this building. I bring You, Lord God, this church structure. And God, I lay it down at Your feet. And I ask You, Lord God, to do with it whatever You want done with it. So that the rivers of Your Spirit, Your love, and Your grace may flow out into a Dead Sea world and bring life everywhere that they flow. So God, in Jesus' name, I invite You, Lord, to come into this pool. If you want to trouble the waters, that's fine. But no matter how you choose to do it, let us walk it out with you for your glory, for your honor, and so that the whole world may know of your love and your grace. In Jesus' powerful name, we pray. Amen. Now will you just glorify the Lord? Hallelujah, Lord. We just praise you, God. We just magnify you. God, we just exalt you with all that we are. Lord, we give you praise. We honor your name. Hallelujah. You are El Shaddai, Lord. You, Lord God, you are supreme above all. You are Adonai. Lord, you are the Lord. And God, we just come to you and we honor you. You are Jehovah. You are the self-sufficient one. God, you are all that is ever needed and will ever be needed. And we honor you today. Lord Jesus, our salvation. Messiah, our Savior, the Anointed One. We worship you and we praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. One last time in closing, will you give the Lord the best clap offering of praise that you can give him? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.